There's a statement that goes, sometimes you can't see the forest for the trees. And sometimes things happen in our lives where we tend to focus, our focus is more horizontal and we don't see the big picture. And what I'm encouraging us to do over the next few weeks is to try to get a bigger picture, because we're studying about God. And there's no picture that can encapsulate the greatness of God. In fact, there's a movie that came to my mind, several movies. I think there's been three Toy Story movies. And you remember Buzz Lightyear? If you haven't seen the movie, just have a child or a grandchild and you'll see it plenty of times. There's Buzz Lightyear who says, "To infinity and beyond, to infinity and beyond." As much as I love the movies, the Toy Story movies, and Buzz Lightyear himself, with apologies, I must say to you that that is a misnomer, because you can't go beyond infinity. Infinity, by definition, means unlimited extent of time, space, or quantity. Boundlessness, says Webster's Dictionary. It's a mathematical term. I used to be a math nerd, but I'm living proof. If you don't use it, you lose it. I've lost it. But I remember being exposed to this concept of infinity, and I even remember the symbol for infinity, that sideways eight. And I suppose that that symbol for infinity, just a continuous loop, it just never ends. And that's the concept of infinity. And I say all that to remind you of this: God is infinite. You talk about a big picture. We can't wrap our minds around infinity, nor can we fully wrap our minds around God. But we're going to seek to understand some things that God has revealed about Himself, particularly in His Word. I want to focus in on two categories of God's infinity this morning. First of all, in respect to time. In respect to time. Time simply does not apply to an eternal being, and God is eternal. So time is immaterial to God. He has no beginning and no end. And the passage that Troy read for us: "You've been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. God is eternal. He is timeless. God is always spoken of in the present tense in Scripture. There was never a time when God was not. There will never be a time when God will not be. He's eternal. We can speak even biblically of God's actions or reactions in the past and in the future. But we cannot speak of the past and the future in regard to His person and being. For He is, and always has been, and always will be. You remember when God called Moses for that tremendous task of leading the people of Israel out of Egyptian bondage? And as soon as God called him from this burning bush, Moses immediately began to offer excuses. And as he's offering excuses, he says, well, what if they ask me, what is His name? What is the name of the God who sent me? You remember God's response to him? God said to Moses, "I am who I am, who I am. Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. I am, not I was, not I will be, I am." And it refers to His active, manifested existence. God is eternal. So He's infinite in relation to time. Secondly, God is eternal. He is infinite in respect to space. He is unlimited in His being, in that He does not have spatial dimensions. We can't measure God. He's present everywhere at once. We call that omnipresence. Omnipresence. Solomon prayed a prayer, 1 Kings chapter 8. as the temple is being dedicated. And he makes this statement in his prayer. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens, or the highest heaven, cannot contain you. How much less this temple which I have built. Solomon acknowledged a great truth, and as magnificent as that temple was, he knew that it wouldn't hold God. That temple wasn't big enough to hold God. The heaven, even the highest heaven, cannot contain you. God is infinite as far as space. We cited from Paul's sermon in Athens in Acts chapter 17 last week. Remember, Paul said, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. But he went on to say, but he's not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. God is transcendent. He's incomprehensible. He is infinite in regards to space, but yet he is near. In him we live and move and have our being. Again, God is omnipresent. And by definition, that means that God is present everywhere, at all times, with all the fullness of his being. In other words, there isn't a piece of God over here and a piece of God over there. He's present everywhere, at all times. And that is possible because God is spirit. John 4:24. God is spirit. Obviously, he couldn't have a physical body and still be omnipresent. God is real, but he is invisible. But he has that uniqueness that he exists without a physical form. But by saying he's immaterial, that he is spirit, does not mean, in the very least, that he is not personal. Because he is a personal God. So God is infinite in regards to time, in regards to space. But what does that mean to you and to me? I wanted to bring it down to where we live. What difference does that make to acknowledge the infinity of God? God is infinite. Therefore, I want to point out five things by way of application. Number one, we can know our origin. If God is infinite, then we can know from whence we came. Nothing has the power of spontaneous generation. That is, nothing cannot suddenly become something. Matter cannot magically appear. Something had to exist in order for the universe to exist. Atheists will claim that at the very beginning, the entire universe was condensed to a tiny ball of matter the size of a proton. And then the Big Bang occurred, and the universe appeared. But that theory does not explain where that matter came from. And that matter cannot originate from nothing. Matter is not, cannot be eternal. So what's the only other explanation? The only other explanation is God, and that God is eternal. Every house is built by someone, the Hebrew writer says, but he who built all things is God. In fact, folks, if there was ever a time when there was absolutely nothing, then there would be nothing now. Something has to have eternal being before anything else can be, and that eternal being is God. So where do we come from? We came from God. As we open up His Word in the first chapter, we find that we were created in the image of God. Human beings are God's, His highest creation, created in His own image. You see, the answer to our origin is it's not from goo to you. It's from God, and He created us in His image. So what does the infinity of God tell us? It tells us where we came from. Number two, it tells us that God knows all things. He is infinite in regards to time and space. He is omnipresent. Therefore, He is also omniscient. That means He knows the evil deeds that people do. In the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah was complaining to God about the false teachings of his prophetic peers. But the Lord tells Jeremiah, I already am aware of this. But notice what he says. Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him? We know the answer. No way. Do I not fill heaven and earth? Asks God to Jeremiah. Since there is no place where God does not exist, he tells Jeremiah that he has seen the terrible things done by the false prophets. If God is infinite, if he's omnipresent, he knows all things. He knows the evil things that are done, but he also knows the good things that people do. Hebrews 6:10 was written to encourage some Christians as they continue to serve the Lord, and written to encourage them not to go back into the ways of Judaism. Hebrews 6:10 says, for God is not so unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for His name in serving the saints as you still do. God didn't miss what you've done. He didn't overlook it. He knows all things. He knows the evil. He knows the good. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, Proverbs 15:3, keeping watch on the evil and the good. What else does the infinity of God teach us? It teaches us we can pray to God at any time. We can pray to God at any time. Let me take you back to the Old Testament again, 1 Kings chapter 18, to Mount Carmel. Here is one prophet of God, Elijah, 450 prophets of Baal. And Elijah's proposed this contest. Whosoever God sends fire, he is the true God. And so they developed this test. Prepare an altar with this sacrifice, and the God who sends down fire is the true God. We read in 1 Kings 18 that the prophets of Baal took the bull which was given them, they prepared it, and they called on the name of Baal from morning till midday, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, no one answered, and they leaped about the altar which they had made. Elijah begins taunting them, and he's proving a point here. Verse 27, so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is meditating, or he is busy, or he's on a journey. Perhaps he's sleeping and must be awakened. He's taunting them. By the way, other versions state at ESV, for example, either he is musing, or he is relieving himself, or he is on a journey. Yes, Elijah's even saying maybe he's gone to the bathroom. So cry aloud. And so they do that. They, from midday forward, they start cutting themselves. They're bleeding, trying to get the attention of Baal. Send down fire to consume this sacrifice. But the scripture says, but there was no voice, no one answered, no one paid attention. You see, Baal was not only not omnipresent, Baal wasn't even present. But Elijah said one prayer, and God sent down fire from heaven that consumed the sacrifice and all the gallons of water that had been poured on it. And it was visual demonstration of the power of God. But it's also an allusion to the fact that God is omnipresent. You can't pray to Baal and expect an answer. You can't pray to a false god who's not even present and expect an answer. But when we pray to our God, we can know that He's in Him we live and move and have our being. He is intimately aware of everything that's going on in our lives. We don't give Him any information. We give Him our requests. He knows our circumstances. His omnipresence, His infinity reminds us we can pray to Him at any time, and He hears. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. What else can we learn from the infinity of God? We can learn that we can find comfort in His presence. Psalm 139 is the classic text concerning the omnipresence of God. And I ask you to look that up in your Bible or on your phone and note with me Psalm 139. What the psalmist says about God's infinity and His omnipresence. Verse 1, O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, You know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from Your Spirit? Where can I flee from Your presence? If I ascend into heaven, You are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, You are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there Your hand shall lead me and Your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall follow me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from You, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to You. For You have formed my inward parts. You have covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise You, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from You when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in Your book they are all written. They all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are Your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with You. You can tell from the tenor of that writing that the psalmist at this point in his life, and there are other points not so much, but at this point in his life, he finds the infinity of God, which signifies His omnipresence, as extremely comforting to him. Sometimes it can make us uneasy when we're not doing what we should. But at other times, we are thankful to know He is present everywhere at all times. When I awake, I find He is still there. We can find comfort in His presence. And a final thing, we can appreciate even more the gift that He offers to us in Christ. What is that gift? For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life, eternal life. Only an eternal God can give eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God, an eternal being, an infinite being, has given us this opportunity to have eternal life with Him in heaven because He loves us and He wants us to spend an eternity with Him. And He gave Jesus, His Son, to make that possible. We serve an infinite God, incomprehensible in so many ways. But may His infinity, may His omnipresence, may His boundlessness also cause us to realize that He cares about each one of us, that it's in Him we live and move and have our being, and that He wants us to spend an eternity with Him. Perhaps this morning you are ready to accept that gift of eternal life that comes when we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Perhaps you're ready to, having turned from sin and you're in repentance, you're ready to confess the name of Jesus, that Jesus is the Son of God and that He died for you, and be baptized into Christ so that your sins can be washed away, so that you can be added to the family of God, so that you can receive that gift of eternal life. Or perhaps there's some among us that need the prayers of the church. Again, let's be reminded, God is present everywhere. And one of the beautiful things about His omnipresence, we can pray to Him at any time. He knows, and He's the one that can help. If you need that help that comes from prayers, we want to pray with you and for you. If you're subject to the invitation of Jesus, please come right now as we stand and sing.